My favorite color is green. I just love it. It's green, it's growing. And our theme for the month is, that's how we've never done it. And like I told you, that's kind of a little thorn in my side. Like Reverend Jean said right in the beginning of the month, it's like really head scratcher. But let's just go with it anyway. And so today's talk is going green. Of course it is. Well, yes, of course, it says Reverend Patio Furniture. Thank you, Christian Wassinger. Gosh, he baptized me that. So going green, you know, it's good advice for all of us. Go green. And it has that little, right? Okay, there's all the zones. They're all up there. So we know that we're considered green, right, on our growing edge, when we're out there, when we're trying something new. We are not green in our comfort zone, are we? Right? We like it in our comfort zone. We live in our comfort zone a lot. We know everybody there. I mean, it's comfortable. That's why they call it the comfort zone. We're experts on everything in our comfort zone. It's nice. We know everybody. Everybody knows us. It's like sort of like being at Cheers, right? Everybody knows your name in your comfort zone. It's all familiar. But we have to get out of there every once in a while, don't we? I mean, we don't have to move out permanently, but we have to get out of our comfort zone at some point. We have to move through the fear zone, right? There it is, where we lack self-confidence and we have to find excuses. We do find excuses. That's the one where we get a little overwhelmed with other people's opinions of us and how we're doing what we're doing and whether or not we're doing it right. And other people's opinions kind of take on more weight. And then we have to move through all that stuff in the fear zone and go into the learning zone, where we learn new skills and we deal with the challenges as they come up, right? So that eventually we get to the growth zone. We get there. And that's the newness. That's where we make new goals and that's where we set new intentions, right? That's our growing edge. So we have to get out there every now and then. It's okay to sit in your comfort zone, right? It's okay to sit back on, you know, rest on your laurels every now and then. That's okay after you've accomplished something. But you have to get back out into the growing zone every once in a while. We tend to live in our comfort zone, but we want to be in our growing zone eventually, right? We have to venture out into the fear. We have to conquer it. We have to learn new skills. We have to realize a greater expression of our lives. Every once in a while, yes, every now and then, so that we can grow, because that's what we're here to do, right? But we tend not to live there. Maybe some, I don't know, adrenaline junkies. Any adrenaline junkies constantly living on the edge, right? There's a few of us. Not me, but there's a few of you. But, you know, we tend to stay in the comfort zone, and then we venture out, and then we do that. We have to travel through all the zones. We just have to, you know. And these zones of growth, to me, are very, very similar to what we learned in financial freedom, the principles of financial freedom about our sphere of availability. Does everybody remember that? We have, like, bubbles around us. Anybody travel in your bubble? You know the bubble. We all travel in our bubbles. But we all have these spheres of availability around us. And they're very comfortable, right? But what you notice sometimes is the thing you desire may exist outside of your zone, right? Of your sphere of availability. A lot of times, the things that we desire most are outside of our sphere of availability. So what we need to do is we need to grow in consciousness. We grow in consciousness first, then our sphere of availability gets bigger, and then what was outside is now inside to be realized in our lives. Does that make sense? Right? That's what we do. We have to grow in consciousness, and that sphere gets bigger. Ernest Holmes said this in Cosmic Light. He said, "Our future evolution will be only as we perceive the light in the darkness until the darkness is no longer there." Only when we accept our divine individualization can we discover that within us, which is already perfect and complete, this is where the soul makes its great claim upon God. This is where the spirit discovers itself in creation. Within us. Everything begins with the dawning on our mind that we are greater than we think. that we are greater than just these physical bodies. And when that idea takes hold in us, when we really embody that idea, that power and that presence that created everything exists at the center of our own being as well, that we are the co-creators of our own lives, when we discover that, that is the power that does the work. That is the power that does the work. It takes all the ego out of it, doesn't it? I love that. It takes all the ego out of it because it's not us, right? I don't run around saying, and you don't run around saying, ha, I'm God, right? You don't run around telling your friends, ha, I am God, look at me. No, but rather, God exists at the center of me. Spirit exists in the center of me. I have use of it. This is what we're talking about. I can co-create with the same power that always has been and always will be, creating everything in the universe and continuing to create. I have use of it because it exists at the center of my soul. Ernest Holmes said, all people are not only a center of God consciousness, they are immortal beings, forever expanding, forever spiraling, forever growing in spiritual stature. Not some people, but all people are immortal. For everyone will finally overcome or transcend any misuse of the law that they have made in their ignorance. Complete redemption at last must come to all alike. That's powerful stuff, right? That which is within us. This is our spiritual path then, isn't it? To become so immersed in this, to become so deeply, to accept so fully the truth that our lives are spirit's life, that we can embody the wholeness that is God, that we can embody the health that is God, that we can embody the abundance, the peace, the love, that is God. And that becomes all we demonstrate. Just becomes all we demonstrate. There's nothing else. This is our spiritual path. To be so convinced, to be so embodied with the truth of our oneness as spirit, that no false belief can exist within us. This is what we're doing. This is the work we do. In the science of mind and spirit, this is the work. To be so convinced of our oneness as spirit and form that no false belief can exist within us. Ernest Holmes said this. This is in the Science of Mind textbook. He said, we can demonstrate at the level of our ability to know. Beyond this, we cannot go. But we will constantly expand and increase in knowledge and understanding, thereby continuously growing in our ability to make use of the law. In time, we are made free through it. Right? We become free of the false beliefs and all of the human lack and limitation thoughts that, you know, flow through human race consciousness. We can be free of them. Talk about being on your growing edge. How about that? How about we just go through our week just knowing that? No doubt, no fear. No false impressions, no illusions of less than, nothing like that, right? I was concerned when I was approaching this talk, going green, right? Being on our growing edge, because I didn't want this to be just another like self-help talk, you know, like, no, please don't do that, you know? There's thousands of self-help talks. Go to YouTube, right? Just go to YouTube. Good grief, do this, don't do that, blah, 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 right? 10 things to make a growing life, or 18 ways to challenge yourself, or 5 days to bigger living, yada, 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 right? I mean, you could go to YouTube and do that, but that's all about the doing. That's all about the doing stuff. That's the outside. First, there must be a change in consciousness. Before anything, before any doing, there must be a change in consciousness, before anything can change in the outer world, in the world of conditions, for any of it to be changed for the better permanently, the inner must change first. Everything begins in consciousness, everything. Ernest Holmes says, the awakening is a process of evolution, a little here, a little there, until the whole eye is opened and we see that life is neither separate from God nor different from good. Life is God, and good is the only power there is or can ever be. Before a change in consciousness, it doesn't matter what you do, it will not be permanent. After a shift in consciousness, it doesn't matter what you do, any of it will work. When we live in truth, we experience shifts in the conditions of our lives. Ernest Holmes said, right? Little shift here, little shift there. He just said that in that quote. That's why I picked it. A little change here, a little change there. And at some point, you start to look at your life, don't you? Look at your life in your rearview mirror and you go, wow, look at how much I've changed. Wow, look at how much the conditions of my life has changed. Wow, look at how much my bank account's improved. Wow, look at how much my health has improved. Wow, look at this, wow, look at that, because those little changes begin to add up little by little. Living on our path, this spiritual path that we're on, changes the way we see the world, yes, but it also changes your world. It also changes the conditions. I believe both and happen. Changes the context through which we see the world, and it also changes the world. It changes the things in our world. I believe that when we change our consciousness, it changes how we see our life, and it also changes our life. When we withdraw the energy from the things we don't want anymore, they have no energy to continue to exist. Do you see that? Right? They have no energy to continue to exist. Ernest Holmes said, there is a law of attraction and repulsion in mind. And it works just like attraction and repulsion in physics. It tends to bring to us that which is like our thinking. What we focus on grows. How many times have we heard that, right? Energy flows where attention goes. Man, I tried to cite that one a while back. Holy moly. Now, they'll tell you that Tony Robbins said it, right? Because I think he said it a billion times. But I really think I went back, and I think it's James Redfield who said it. James Redfield, you know, the Celestine prophecy guy? Okay, I think it was really him. Energy flows where attention goes. So when we pay attention to something, we're actually paying, right? We're actually paying for that experience. We're paying with our energy. We're paying with our life energy. We're actually feeding energy to the thing we're paying attention to. So what are you paying attention to? What are you paying attention to? We have to be single focused here. You don't want to feed and grow the things you don't want, right? So, this is why we must be single focused. This is why in the Bible it said, you know, you can't serve two masters. That's what that's about, right? It's not the God and the devil. That shit doesn't exist. It's about you know, you can't be, you know, focusing on this, oh, and having a backup plan, right? Oh, my God, that backup plan, that plan B, right? Where there's a plan B or there's a backup plan or there's the rationality of, and I love this one and I know you've heard this one too, plan for the best and prepare for the worst. What the hell kind of advice is that? Oh my God, that actually sabotages us, doesn't it? You see where that is like total split focused. Hey, let's just, you know, mess with our own energy. We must not entertain the worst. Good grief. That should not even be in your mind. That is not where you want to be sending your energy. Prepare for the worst. Get out of here. Ernest Holmes said, we send out the word, and it sets in motion a power. And then if we begin to think the opposite thing, it gets that as well. And then it neutralizes the initial word and destroys the possibility of effect. Right? Because we're planning for the best and preparing for the worst. Hello? We cannot be affirming the good in our lives all morning in prayer and in meditation and then spend the rest of the day preparing for the worst. Do you see how that's like just totally defeating the purpose? We are split focused. If anything, it produces nothing, which is not bad, I guess, if that's what you want. But we have to stay single focused. There is good and nothing but good. Ernest Holmes said that, right? God is good. There is good in the world and nothing but God, nothing but good. There's good in the world and I ought to have it. Emma Curtis Hopkins. Oh my gosh, love dear Emma Curtis Hopkins. And she used the word ought on purpose. She said, there is good in the world and I ought to have it. And that word ought, look it up, it's obligation. We are obligated to good, right? Like it's a law unto itself. There is good in the world and I ought to have it. I must have it, I should have it. It's my obligation to have it. And Ernest Holmes said it this way, he said, we do not suggest to a person that he's all right when he's not all right, right? We're not about ostriches and sticking our heads in the sand. He says this, we awaken the human to the inherent divinity and perfection which is within every living soul. The whole process is one of awakening. The spiritual nature never sleeps. And something in you and in me senses this imprisoned splendor as something that has never been hurt, never been confused, never been sick, never been poor. Our knowledge of this divine reality, according to an immutable law in the universe, automatically sets objective human free. And isn't that what our spiritual practice is? To be free from the limited human race consciousness of war and death and disease and shortages and sickness and separation. This then is our spiritual practice. Think only good, know only good, visualize only good, speak only good. Changes us, and it is capable of changing the conditions around us. This then is our spiritual practice. This, this is living on our growing edge, right? This is taking that on, being single focused. Then, with the changed consciousness, we can go back to the YouTube videos, right? Then we begin to move our feet. We can engage in those 10 things for a growing life, or the 18 ways to challenge yourself, or 5 days to bigger living, right? Then we can do all that stuff, because it won't matter which method you choose. Any of them will work. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, the infinite has already implanted within us an instinctive intuition, which is the spiritual knowledge of good, and our whole growth results from that inner awakening. Join me on the growing edge, would you? Come grow with me.